you somewhere there. There's a communion cup with your name on it. And so we'll be taking this in a moment here. Praise God. 2021, brand new year. Same gospel, same mighty God, same promise. The prophecy is a little bit further down the prophetic road, and we are excited to be a part of an end-time church, a part of the greatest thing that's on the face of the earth today. And it's a privilege to be in the house with you tonight. I love and appreciate the people of God, those that have come into covenant with Him. And truly, we are the family of God, covered by the blood, covered by the same name, and filled with the same familial spirit. He's adopted us, and He's birthed us again by water and by blood and by spirit. Tonight, we're going to survey some things, beginning in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 1. It came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, He said unto His disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." And in this 26th chapter, he's preparing them, and He's told them before, but He's preparing them. It's only a few days away now that He's going to, on Passover, be crucified. And He's the fulfillment of all of those Old Testament types, the lamb that God slew in the garden to cover them with blood and death and the skin of an animal and all of the blood sacrifice throughout the Old Testament and the Passover lamb and the atonement lamb and the scapegoat. And He's going to be all of those, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace upon Him. And by His stripes are we healed. And so he's telling them that. And then they go down to Bethany in verse 6. When Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto Him a woman having an alabaster box of precious ointment, and poured it on His head as He sat at meat. And this story is going to be told for 2,000 years. And it's in all four of the Gospels. And this woman takes and she presents a metaphor of what's about to happen at Calvary. The alabaster box is precious, but what's inside of it is more so precious. And the only way to get access to what is on the inside is to break that box. And that's exactly what Jesus is going to do. But the extension of that is the fact that every one of us has a treasure in an earthen vessel. And the extended metaphor is our vessel has to break so that the precious kingdom of God that is in us can flow out and be effective, and the anointing that's in your life can be effective in the lives of others. When Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto Him a woman having an alabaster box of precious ointment, and poured it on His head as He sat at meat. But when His disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste?" Because there's something about the human condition that doesn't like the breaking of the vessel, that doesn't like the breaking of the clay, the breaking of the body or the personal life. They were indignant about it. John tells us that this is Judas that raises the objection. "For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." And when Jesus understood it, He said to them, "Why trouble ye the woman? She has wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this be that this woman has done, be told for a memorial of her." It is a perfect metaphor, the broken, precious vessel releasing the very precious oil on the inside, the fragrance on the inside, and in terms of Jesus and His body, it is the blood and the opening up of the kingdom of God in an entirely different dimension. And in regard to you, it's just going to require, I know the Second Theology theology group has been going through Watchman Nee and the title, The Release of the Spirit, but there has to be a breaking if there's going to be a releasing of the Spirit. And if there's going to be revival, there has to be the releasing of the Spirit. And you've got to get yourself in a place where you can tear that outer man or woman and let what God has placed within you, let the sweetness be released. When they were eating, and also this is in Matthew 26, the metaphor, the meeting at Bethany in Simon's house was a precursor to the Last Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And this is kingdom methodology, this sequence, blessed and broken and given. Blessed. Yeah, you want the blessing of God, but before you're any use to the world around you or the kingdom, you have to be blessed, but then you've got to be broken. Then you've got to be given. Those things come in sequence, and that was the methodology demonstrated here at what we call the Last Supper. And if you're going to have newness of life, you have to have the blessing and you have to have the brokenness and you've got to be given. And if you're going to have new strength or revival or an outpouring of what you desire in the kingdom of God, you've got to find the source of the blessing, and then you've got to have a brokenness come on you, and then you've got to be given to the hands of those that have need. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Jesus, he's the fulfillment of all the sacrificial typology. He is the Passover lamb, and this is the Passover meal that they're eating. And he says, "Eat this." And in the Passover conversation, it was, "Eat it all, the head, the legs, the pertinence thereof. Consume it and assimilate it and become that." And that's exactly what we're demonstrating here tonight as we take that wafer and we take that drink. We're commemorating his blood and his broken body, and we're saying, "I'm going to do this in this service tonight, but it's a lot bigger than this service, and it's a lot bigger than this little object I'm holding in my hand, and I'm going to participate with the church here. But what it really means is I'm going to eat and drink the ministry of Jesus and the blood and the body and the word and the kingdom. I'm going to eat it, and I'm going to become that. It's going to be assimilated into my life." And for this, he said, "is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Then said Jesus unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I'll smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." He's quoting from Zechariah 13. And Zechariah 13 is bracketed by 12, which is the return of the mighty God and the glorified Jesus defeating the Antichrist forces and revealing himself to Israel. And then in chapter 14 of Zechariah, it is another look at the return of God, the great and terrible day of the Lord, when he sets foot on the Mount of Olives, and the beginning of the millennial is there. And so in the middle of those highly prophetic passages, he says the shepherd's going to be smitten and the sheep are going to be scattered. And he put it this way. He said, "You're going to be offended at me this night." And they were, because there's something about the human condition that doesn't like the breaking of the vessel. There's something about the human condition that wants to be enough. There's something about the human condition that wants to achieve a stable status quo and cling to that and hold to that and to somehow say, "I've worked really hard and I've applied myself and am I not enough?" But if you've come to God and you've got any inkling of who he is and who you are, you've got to know tonight that you're not enough and you'll never be enough. And the best thing you can do is come upon the revelation, "But if I'll break myself, then God will take all the broken pieces and God will make something of me and God will do something. He'll bless me, he'll break me, and he'll give me to a world that's in need." Praise God. "After I'm risen again, I'll go before you in Galilee." He said, I'm gonna go to the cross. He tells them straight up. But none of them have lawn chairs and snacks. They're not sitting out in front of the tomb waiting for him to appear because they just can't get it. But he goes through that whole business of the bread and his body and the wine and his blood and all of that. And it's for the most part going right over their heads. But he said, after I'm risen, I'll come before you into Galilee. Because the resurrection is necessary. And the resurrection is what you're looking for. It's what you really need. But you can't get there if you bypass Calvary. You can't get there if you bypass the brokenness and the pouring out of that precious ointment. So the resurrection is coming. He said, I'm going to go before you into Galilee. And the cross is brutal. And breaking is brutal. But it's necessary. Without it, there is no resurrection. It's John's declaration, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. He said, I've got to decrease because he's got to increase. Anybody want to see more of Jesus in 2021? Anybody want him to have greater control in your life? Would you like to see what he could do with your life? Would you like to see what he could do with your ministry? No matter what your craft or what your skill, when his hand is on your hand, you're going to be better at it. You're going to be more effective. You're going to be more productive. Is there anybody in this house that wants his hand on your hand in the middle of your craft? It doesn't matter. You're going to be a better mom and a better dad and a better husband and a better wife if he can lay his hand on you. I'm telling you, it takes my decrease for him to increase. And so I've got to find that. I've got to find that place where I have to decrease and he has to grow. He tells him in John chapter 2, he says, tear down this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And so he's saying you've got to tear down the known. You got to tear down the familiar. You have to demolish the thing that you perhaps love and that you've become accustomed to, what worked in the past, all of those things, they've got to come down because he's got to be greater. And he's always moving on and moving up, and there is no status quo in this life's journey. I tell you, we need anointing. There has to be a breaking. We need a fresh word of God, and there has to be a breaking. We need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and we need revival, and our city needs it, and our co-workers and our families and backsliders all over this city, they all need these things. And the only way they're going to come is by the brokenness that he demonstrated for us on the cross and that he talked about at the Last Supper. Praise God. You can't memorialize these natural things. Peter wanted to do that on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's seeing something dynamic and fluid and spiritual, and he's saying, Jesus, do you want us to build a little tabernacle for you and Moses and Elijah? And Jesus doesn't really answer him. He just kind of walks right on by. But you can't house these things effectively in natural structures. God's bigger than this church building, and God's bigger than our ministry framing, and God's bigger than all of these things that we've erected and we've constructed, and he needs to break out. And the way that he breaks out is he breaks out in you, and he breaks out when you decrease and when you're broken. Peter is hard-headed and self-confident, and he's used to being that alpha on the deck of that fishing boat, and he brought that with him into the ranks of the 12 disciples. And Matthew 16, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised again on the third day. Now, he had just given them the quiz and revealed himself anew and told them prophetically, and on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then he gives the keys to Peter and tells him, Peter, what you guys bind on the earth is going to be bound in the heavens, and what you loose on the earth is going to be loosed in the heavens, and you've got this connection with heaven and you're going to be dynamic in the earth. All of that had just transpired, and then he begins to tell them again about the Via Dolorosa, about the trip up Calvary, and about the suffering and the breaking. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. He's resisting the idea of the breaking, and he's resisting the idea of the necessity of the decrease of the natural so that the supernatural, the spiritual, can break forth. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. It is the devil's work to preserve the natural. It's the devil's work to preserve and to think that you are enough without a move of God. We'll never have a good enough music program, and we'll never have a good enough preacher, and we'll never have good enough children's ministries, and we'll never be enough on our own. My God, I was raised in a denominational church, and you can have one of those if you want to, but we need a move of God. We need the breath of God. We need the Holy Ghost to have his way. The only way that happens is for you and for me to find a place of brokenness and to follow after these. It's not enough that Jesus was broken. The methodology is the same. The fact that you and I have to be broken as an alabaster box, as the body of the Christ, as the bread at the Last Supper. We've got to be broken so that we can do the work that God has called us. And I do believe we've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. I really do. The whole world can get stood up on its head and shaken out, but the church of the living God is going to last forever. It's growing in the earth right now. It's greater than it's ever been before, and it's going to be greater before he comes. Is there anybody in the house that believes that? He said there is no end to the increase of his government and his peace. Praise God. He said, Peter, you sound like the devil. You're an offense to me. You savor the things that be of men, not the things that be of God. Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, take up that load of responsibility that culminates in your breaking and in your tearing. For whosoever will save his life, you can't keep what you have. Whosoever will save his life will lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, break his life for my sake, break the vessel for my sake, he'll find it. You can't, listen, Peter didn't get it then, but after the death and the burial and the resurrection, then Pentecost happened. Then Peter is a different man. Then, because of the brokenness, there's this outpouring. And that's what we need. That's what we need more than anything else. I don't know what your list of needs are right now, but we need a move of God. We need the breath of God. We need the Word of God open to us. We need God to have his way as perfectly as it is possible for people to walk with God. We need that right now. And that means everything else has got to be laid on the altar. Everything has to be on the altar. Everything I am, everything I have, everything I hope to be, all my dreams and everything that I treasure, I've got to lay it on the altar. I don't know what God will do with it all. I don't know what his disposition will be for me and what my course is going to be, but I know I've got to release it all to him, and I've got to find a place of brokenness to say, God, I am nothing without you. God, I have nothing without you. God, I love every everybody in my household, in my family, but that's not enough. I love the people of God in the church, but that's not enough. I've got to have a move of God. This gathering, we as a people, none of it makes any sense without the power of the resurrection. And if we become carnal and we become satisfied, he can't be who and what he wants to be in our lives. You can't keep this life. You'll lose it. But if you, in the pursuit of the kingdom, break and release, you'll find abundant life. So how are you doing? How are you spending your time? That's how you're spending your life. What is your schedule? What's your routine? What do you love? What are you involved in? You need to take time, and you need to find prayer. If there needs to be an emphasis for us as a church family this year, it needs to be more of God, more prayer. We need to take more time for prayer, because a little bit of prayer is a powerful thing, but a lot of prayer is something I think will challenge you and shake you and bring forth the thing that you've only dreamed about. I'm just telling you, does anybody here believe that God has more to do with you and more to do in this city and more to do in this church? I believe God has great plans. I really do. When you pray, you break. When you pray, you release. When you pray, you bow the knee and you say, I'm not enough. When you pray, you humble yourself and a little bit of you dies every time you pray. When you pray, you remain small in your own sight and you worship him and you request of him all of those things you have need of. And you say by prayer, I'm not enough. And you say by prayer, I need your strength, God. And you say in prayer, you admit your need and you admit your weakness and your insufficiency. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came a woman with an alabaster box of ointment. And she had her little box there, and the spikenard was very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. This is a little different in Mark than it was in Matthew 26. She breaks the box. I want to challenge somebody. Break the box and see what's on the inside. Break the box and see what God has planted in you, because the kingdom of God and everything that he's made available is in you. It's in you because he put it there by the Holy Ghost and by his name. And just break it and see. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Kingdom of heaven has shined into your heart, and you've got a heart filled up with light and filled up with what our world needs. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. There has to be a tearing of the vessel so that is heavenly can be released. So the best that the world has, the beautiful alabaster box, the externals. Tonight you may be young and fit and stylish and properly attired, and you may in your externals have it all together, but that box has to be broken, and you're not enough without brokenness. And that's what this service is a commemoration of tonight. The highest, the strongest, the wisest, the most powerful came down to a place, humbled himself just to walk on this earth, humbled himself and allowed himself to be broken so that it could flow forth. How could we do any less? How could we do any less than that? So it's not realization or knowledge that's enough. We have to break the box. We have to tear the vessel. We have to release what's on the inside. Praise God. Without the cross, there's no Pentecost. Without the cross, there's no rushing mighty wind. And if you're a singer here, let's see how you sing when your physical life is torn and God can flow through you. I love our music and I love your ministry, but what would it be like after you break the box? You musicians, I love what you do and I appreciate the work, and I love that you give yourself to lead us into worship. But what would be released in the house if when you sat to play, you had broken yourself in prayer? Praise God. I want you to be as accomplished as a singer and as a musician as you can be, but I want you to be broken. I would rather have mediocre musicians with spiritual brokenness than excellent musicians who were carnal in their lifestyle. And that would apply to every area of ministry in this church. I would rather you be mediocre in your, and you understand, I want us to be excellent in everything that we do. But if I had to choose, I'd rather you be mediocre in your area of ministry, in your craft, in your knowledge, in your skill, but anointed of God, because God can take anything. And with the anointing, he can use it. When you sing, somebody ought to feel it. When you play, somebody ought to feel it. When you teach that Sunday school lesson, those children, they ought to feel the Holy Ghost. When you preach, preacher, somebody needs to feel what you're preaching. When you shake their hand, when you lay hands on them in prayer, when you bring them to church and tell them about God, there ought to be this powerful thing moving in you that draws them. And that is the Spirit of God and the power of the kingdom. And that you can't accomplish that in the natural. You've got to have a breaking of that alabaster box. You are the body of Christ. And he gave us the perfect example. The body of Christ has to be broken so what God has prepared can flow out. Let's stop for just a little bit right here and let's begin to pray. Let's begin to seek the face of God. Would you do that right now? Would you just begin to offer yourself up? Let's have some music. We don't have to have a praise group right now. Just some music. Praise God. Glory to God. Mighty God. Hallelujah. So God, what can I lay on an altar tonight? So God, what can I offer up to you? Mighty God, what can I lay aside? How can I find some more time for prayer? How can I be yielded and given to you in 2021, oh God? I want to be more effective than I've ever been. How can I do that, God? Less of me and more of you. Less of me and more of you. God, breathe into this church. How do we have the revival that you've prophesied, oh God? Broken vessels all over the house. Broken men and women who know how to weep and who know how to call on God and who know how to be given to God. How can we have a revival that shakes the city, oh God? Broken men and women and broken young people who are not as worried about the shallow things of life as they are worried about a genuine, authentic moving of the Spirit of God. How, God, can we get there? Brokenness is going to be the answer. On the cross, he's broken, and the whole world changes. There's a seismic shift in the Spirit, and the dynamics of human destiny are changed because he's broken. It'll be the same for you as his church. All you've got to do is find a place. Find a place of brokenness. Hallelujah. 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 Pray for your ministry. Pray for that thing God has laid on your heart. Pray for that area that God has given you a passion for. Ask God to help you to be broken and pliable in His hand. Hallelujah. Less of me, oh God. More of you. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody in the house is praying right now. Everybody in the house, brokenness is repentance. Brokenness is contrition. Brokenness is humbling yourself. Brokenness is calling on God because you know you're not enough. Brokenness is calling on God because you know you need more and you don't want to be what you were yesterday. You want to be what God sees that you can be. Hallelujah. Somebody loose that Holy Ghost right now. Start talking in tongues and let that Holy Ghost flow in your vessel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Understand it, but brokenness will change your finances. You may not understand it, but brokenness will help you in your craft and in your skill. You may not understand it, but you take a step toward God in this, and God's going to revolutionize your life. You'll be better this year than you've ever been before. If you can find a way to break your vessel and pour the sweetness out on the body of Christ. Trust that everybody has your communion cup. If you do, let's stand together. If you don't, you lift your hand. Brother Dan or Brother Butch will take care of you. These are ingenious little cups. There's a wafer in the top, and there's the juice underneath. And I know that you're above average, and you can figure that out. Praise God. And Brother Dan and Brother Butch, if you would serve these on the platform, please. When Paul's writing about it in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, we do this in remembrance, and he reminds us that Jesus admonished his disciples to remember this. And here in this 26th chapter again, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Praise God. Let's do this. Let's take this communion and remember it. And then let's give thanks and let's magnify. God, we remember. God, we remember what you did. God, we remember how you were broken. God, we remember and we're thankful. God, we remember and we know that all the grace poured forth because you were broken. God, we remember and we know that the mercy poured forth because you were broken. God, we remember and we know we have the Holy Ghost tonight because you were broken. those of us that have been healed, oh God, we know it flowed forth out of your brokenness. You were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon you, and by your stripes are we healed. Praise God. Praise God. Could we spend a little time giving him thanks for it tonight? Could we spend a moment giving him thanks for it tonight? Hallelujah. Worship you, oh God. Ah, hallelujah. Mighty God, we bless your name and praise your name and worship you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want the praise group to come back, and we want to worship God a little while longer before we leave tonight. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. No, that would be great, but let's give him high praise. Let's give him high praise. If you love him, give him high praise. If you think he's going to do a great work in 2021, give him high praise. Oh, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name above every name. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus, hallelujah.